In our Christian
Welcome
Life series,
this anointed
we
message
talked about
taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of
Peter
Amazing
says,
Grace Fellowship.
Add to your
we
faith
believe your life will be enriched by hearing the
virtue,
word of truth, the reality of faith,
and I
and
mentioned
the
that I was
going to
speak
God
a little bit
Here's
further
Pastor
on faith.
Lynn.
Faith is one of those topics that's it's simple yet very intricate. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things that sometimes is hard to wrap your brain around. I think Justin tonight was talking about, he was talking to somebody about faith and God and, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's, I think a really a good metaphor is that faith is the legal tender for heaven. Does that make sense to you? I don't have any. Yeah, I do. I think. Well, first of all, who has a coin on them? Anybody have a coin? Throw it up here. Would you mind? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and throw money. this is a nickel. Who's the face on the nickel? Buffalo. I didn't think you were that old, Farrell. Jefferson, right? Okay. That's good. Anyhow, and on the back, what is on the back of a Jefferson? Pardon? Yeah, good for you, Monticello. Right, he's on the back, okay? So this is a coin. This is legal tender in the United States of America. In fact, it's the only thing that's legal tender in the United States of America. It's the only thing that you can use to exchange this in the receipt of goods or services. And according to the United States government, for this to be valid, both sides have to be intact. So, if I were to take a grinder and grind off old Jefferson's head or grind off the top of his house, this would be worth nothing as far as it might have some scrap value in terms of the metal. But it would not be legal tender, okay, officially. So you can't take this and put it on a sander and grind one side off and then go use it. Whoever's taken your money should be pay attention enough to say that's no longer legal tender. Are you with me? If both sides aren't intact, you can kick, scream, do whatever you want. You can cry really loud or whatever, and it still will not spend. Faith is very much like a coin. And I do think it's a good metaphor that faith is the legal tender of heaven to buy or to receive goods or services from heaven. Okay? And if both of the sides of faith is very similar to a coin from the perspective I talked Sunday about that faith has expression. So that one side of the coin is what you say, the other side of the coin is what you do. And if both of those things don't go together, we can cry when we pray, we can make our case before God, but if our coin that we're trying to receive from God isn't intact, it's not faith. Does that make sense? Okay, there's a lot of metaphors a person can use. That's one of them. Here you go, Ed. First of all, you call it heads or tails. If it's head, you get to keep it. No, if whatever you call it, you get to keep it. And if it was Nancy's. Well, okay. That okay? If you call it right, you get to keep it. If not, it's mine. All right. It's tails. Come on, baby. Yeah, here you go. It was tails, but anyhow. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit further about faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter in the Bible that probably uses the word faith more than any other chapter of any other book in the Bible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, which means faith, by faith, elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was taken. Verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Listen, if it's impossible to please God without faith, how many of you know that every believer then ought to make it a priority to understand what faith is? It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. That puts faith in a category that's really, really, and that's the reason Peter, by the way, says to add to your faith. Because faith is foundational to the believer's life. It's foundational. We live by it. We die by it. But the most important thing is we please God by it. So, I love Wednesday nights because it's just it's my favorite time. But, so we're just going to talk. So if we don't have an understanding of faith, you know what? We'll not be able to please God. Now think about that. That's a pretty harsh statement. Well, I thought God's a God of love. He is. But faith works by love. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means that if I don't understand it and then operate in faith, I can look good, I can sound good, I can cry, I can be desperate, I can be whatever, but God will not be pleased unless I come to Him in faith. Now, this isn't just coming to Him in salvation faith, where we just come to God and become a born-again Christian. Okay, that obviously pleases God. Doesn't that only stand to reason? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So every person, Calvin mentioned that some at this walk to Emmaus came to Christ. How many of you know God was pleased? But we can't stop there and say, well, I came to Christ, so I pleased God. No, I want to please God every day of my life. And for that to happen, I need to live a life of faith. Okay? And this whole chapter is kind of the hall of fame, what I call the hall of fame of faith. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Quite a bit of time spent on Abraham there. In fact, it goes all the way down to verse 11 with Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Now that's really encouraging, because how many of you know Sarah, when she heard from Abraham what God had said, how many of you know Sarah was not in faith? It was humorous to her. Right? Didn't she just bust out laughing? It's like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. We're going to get pregnant and I'm going to give a kid and I'm 90. Ah, that's a good one. You know, or to use what some people that just learn the English language from another country, they'll tell a joke that's not funny because their command of the English language isn't great. And then they'll go, I made a funny. That's kind of what Sarah was telling. Oh, Abraham, you made a funny. Yeah, that's really cute, Abraham, but it ain't going to happen. But isn't it interesting that she made the Hall of Fame of Faith? She finally got herself to a spot. So listen, I want to encourage us. We may be in a spot that we may look at it on a particular area. We may not be in faith. We may be in presumption. We may be in just desperation. Because listen, desperation does not move the hand of God. Faith moves the hand of God. Amen? Just because we're desperate in situations in life, you know, God has moved with the feelings of our infirmities. God's moved with the feelings of our weaknesses. But you know what? It's faith that moves the hand of God. It's how it always was, and it's how it always will be. For us humans relating to God, we got to come to Him in faith, believing. Verse 13 talks about these. These all died in faith. So we come to Christ by faith. We live by faith, and then we die in faith. Not having received the promises. What promises is the writer to the Hebrews talking about? The promises that were made to the children of Israel that a Messiah would come. Right? And these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Now that's really important because this whole chapter is talking about faith. says here that they were able to see them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What's that just simply saying is that, you know what? They put their faith in God, not only just as God's people, but they looked to the future for that Messiah, the anointed one that would come. And what's interesting, listen, faith will cause you to see things that you can't perceive in the natural. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, how that takes place is really the crunch. How that takes place is where the nitty meets the gritty and the rubber meets the road. Faith is not just a confession you make. Faith is not taking the word of God and quoting it 10 times a day and then you got it. Okay? There's been a lot of misunderstanding over the years of what faith is. To start out, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith... I want to try to put this in words that make it simple instead of make it more complex. You know you haven't done a good job as a speaker when you've raised more questions than you ever answered. Let me just think of an example. I'll come up with one. If you're putting your faith out for something that's not reality yet, it could be for a myriad of different things, anything from whatever it may be. A relationship to be restored, or if there never was one, a relationship to be created. It could be sickness and disease. It could be provision for finances. There could be just a ton of different things that in the natural, all the stuff in the natural look contrary. It's like, this can't happen. Okay. So every truth that gets emphasized in the body of Christ goes through a process of, you know, 40 plus years ago. I'm 53. 40 plus years ago, maybe a little more than that. Maybe 60 years ago. It seemed as if an understanding of faith became a priority within the body of Christ, and specifically within the full gospel community of the body of Christ, that there seemed to be an emphasis of a teaching on what faith is, how faith operates, and all that sort of stuff, okay? And usually when things like that, do you remember some of you, or I'm not that old, but some of you during the revivals era, when guys like Billy Graham was young, 1947 was when his first crusade was in L.A., guys like Oral Roberts, right? Okay, that era, it's called the revival era, okay, where go to an area, set up big tents, and then there, you know, incredible miracles would take place and all sorts of stuff. It seemed as if for a while there was an emphasis on that, okay? Usually when those things happen, and I'm kind of going a roundabout way to give this example, but usually when those things happen, it happens because there's a de-emphasis, or there's no emphasis, or there's little understanding about that. How many of you know miracles, people getting healed, is nothing new? All we have to do is look at the Bible and see some of them. But there, if you look at human history within the body of Christ, what you're going to find is you're going to find that there's time periods that it seemed as if miracles weren't very prominent, or miracles didn't take place very often at all, okay? And so there's an emphasis that takes place and seems to be spawned by God, that God wants, you know, maybe the body of Christ to realize that, hey guys, I want you to know I'm still in the miracle working business here. Watch this, right? And so somebody that's blind gets healed or whatever it may be, and there was an emphasis for a long time on that. You know, the lady, Catherine Kuhlman, You know, the whole emphasis on a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, forget what your thoughts are about that. There was an emphasis in the body of Christ because it seemed as if before that came, very little stuff was taking place. The problem is that when God begins to reveal, how many of you know God's always been in the miracle working business? So it's not that it's new. It's just that there's maybe a new emphasis or maybe even a new understanding / revelation about it, okay? What happens is usually it begins to go weird for, there's a time that the pendulum swings way to the other side. Are you with me? Way to the other side. It's like, all right, well, bless God, we don't need doctors. Well, that's probably just stupid. Let's call a spade a spade. I mean, you know, doctors aren't anti-God. Are you with me? Okay. So there's, the pendulum goes one way. Well, in the topic of faith, we heard understandings being brought forth of how that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, how it's important that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of thy mouth. And so there was an emphasis on making sure we were getting the deposit of the word on the inside of us and making sure that we were quoting the word of God so that we could stay in faith. Because how many of you know that if you don't watch your mouth will say some ugly stuff? Right? The problem is that, and that's all true. The problem is as the pendulum swang, is that a word? English people swang? Well, it is now. No. Swung. As the pendulum swung over here, people just kind of got the idea that, you know, have you ever heard of the name it and claim it crowd? Have you heard of the blab it and grab it? Okay. What else? Any other monikers like that? So it's just like, cool, just lay, you know, walking in a parking lot, lay their hand on a Cadillac, say, bless God, that's mine. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm blessed. I'm a blessed. I'm, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, okay. Let me tell you what. Confession is very, very crucial and very, very true. And what comes out of our mouth is very, very powerful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What a lie. Okay? But that pendulum swung. Why did I have that? That pendulum swung to a deal that people, not all people, but it's just how things are. For truth to come out and listen and end up coming out in a balanced, I'm not talking compromising, but in a balanced way, there is a time frame that it's always going to go to an extreme. Don't let it blow you away. It's just how it is. Okay? So that, boy, you mean I can just say it and then it's mine? Man, if you can just believe all things are possible to him that believe it. Well, I just believe God, that Cadillac's mine, bless God. Well, that's just stupid. Because here's what's the missing ingredient in it that's been taught all along. It's just that, how many of you as humans, we grab onto what we like on any truth. We grab hold onto what we like and then we'll just camp on that. Okay, well man, how many of you know if you could just say it and it's yours, if you could just say it and it's yours and it's that easy, that's the way to go. Are you with me? So to the whole tune, when Dret and I first went to Nova Scotia, the big deal was subliminal. So that you'd go to bed at night with the scripture going, because you would just wake up in the morning and the scripture would all be deposited on the inside of you. And if you could just do that every night, in fact, we were taught by some that if you did it at nighttime, that was the best time because your mind wasn't going to confuse things up. Well, how cool is that? Really? I mean, I like that one. Great. I don't want to think. I don't want to read. I'm just going to sleep and let it play and come on the inside of me. It's kind of like in the diet world. You can just take this pill and then you can just eat anything you want. Well, that's the way to go. Then I don't have to exercise. I don't have to do squat nothing. all the same excuses take place with spiritual things, guys. We're still humans. A horse will always take the easiest way out unless you make him do what you want him to do. Christians will do the same thing. Turn to your neighbor, say, you'll do the same thing. We will. We're humans. If we give in to our... Because listen, but here's the kicker. Now listen really close. Joshua 1:8 is probably one of the clearest, fully orbed pictures of how faith takes place. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. See, there it says, you just got to confess the word. You do need to confess the word, but that's not all. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You can't meditate when you're sleeping. You got to think. Meditation means, now I'm not talking about, not that kind of meditation. I'm talking about the going over, the going over, the going over, the going over. Reading it again. Hearing it again. Talking about it again. Okay? Now listen real close. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That kind of sounds like Peter's with all diligence, doesn't it? Day and night. Let me tell you what. You can't step in and step out of faith and call yourself a consistent Christian. God is not the Christian's sugar daddy. God does not exist to make us happy. We exist to worship God. Okay, now looking, go on, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Ooh, look at this next one. And observe to do according to all that's written therein. Now think how big of a mouthful that is. And observe to do. That means to be a person that develops, grows in faith. It can't take place at nighttime. I hate to bust any of our bubbles. It can't take place at nighttime. Observe to do. That means we are looking to be obedient to the Word of God. We're not looking to have a quick way to get something. Are you with me so far? So, the Word of God is our mouth. The Word of God isn't our mouth. The Word of God is in our mouth. How many of you know it just stands to reason? It's smarter for us as a believer. It makes more sense for us as a Christian to say what our Father says. Let's talk the Word. Okay, I understand that we all have a bad day and there's probably things come out of our mouth that may be even contrary to the Word of God. One has to then ask the question, which is a whole nother discussion, so does that just negate everything you've done? Some would say yes, I say no. But that's a whole nother study. So, the Word of God needs to be in our mouth, but then we meditate on it day and night. Let me tell you what, dynamically, the meditation process, going over it, and that meditation process isn't just a mental deal, it's a prayerful deal, as well as mental, it's involved our whole being. So we're trusting God for something. We're putting our faith out for something, let's say. And so we get God's word on it. You know, it's good to find out what God's word has to say about what you're believing him for. Does that make sense? If God backs it up with scripture, how many of you know you're probably standing on pretty good ground? Okay? And so we go to God's word and get that, but then we take God's word and we all know this. I mean, you can't read God's word once and get it. What I mean by saying get it is you can't exhaust what it's saying. You can't, that's what's just so cool about God and His Word, is there's just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. How many of you know you can read a scripture that you understand as a baby in Christ? Then as you grow in Christ and become an adolescent, you can read the same scripture, and because you're an adolescent, it's not that it has a completely different meaning, but that the meaning takes on another level. But then as you grow and become a teenager in Christ, now you read the Word of God and you hear it and you see it and it's like, wow, that's what it said? Why didn't I see that when I was little? And then as you just keep growing older, I mean, that's just what's awesome about God's Word, is this is layers and layers upon depth that you just go, wow. That's why Paul said in the book of Romans, how unsearchable are the riches of God. In other words, we're never going to be able to, if I could use a mining term, we're never going to be able to mine God's Word and go, well, we got everything there is now. There's nothing left. Let's pull out. That's not going to happen. So we get the Word of God. We go over it. That meditation process. That meditation process is the simmering, to use a cooking term, is the simmering stuff that takes place, that the Holy Spirit of God causes the ingredients, which is His written word, causes those ingredients as we meditate on it. What are we doing? We're renewing our mind to the Word. There's a ton of things going on. And then all of a sudden, what we're trusting God for, while we may have started, listen real close, we may have started saying what the Word of God said, and there was, we believe the Word of God's true. I mean, we would look at, if you're a Christian and you don't believe this is true, you're going to have a real tough time being a Christian. Right? So we would say, yes, the Word of God is true, but listen, when we're fighting the battle of sickness and disease, when we're fighting the battle of financial difficulty or whatever it may be, when we're fighting the battle of a broken relationship, whatever, you know, just whatever you're facing, while we believe the Word of God's true, listen, we don't yet have the ability, listen real close, to trust the Word of God. Trust comes by experience. We would all say, academically, the Word of God's true. Every word in this book from Genesis to maps is true. Right? But as we meditate on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes that word, that's logos, building blocks, Lego blocks, and then all of a sudden it's in that stewing, in that meditation, in that going over and over, that all the flavors of the bone, all the flavors of the vegetables that we've added, all the ingredients that we put in the pot, all begin to come together and become homogeneous. They're parts of each other. In fact, it takes place so fully that you can't separate them now any longer. And then all of a sudden, the Lego blocks turn to freshly spoken words from the Holy Spirit called Rhema that goes, that's yours. And that's when we can say, I got it. And that's when it's not a presumptive deal. Presumption thinks they know it. Faith knows that you know it. Does that make sense? That's why we'd almost use examples like, man, then the light turned on. What is that? It went from Lego to Rhema. That it was an individual word spoken to you, spoken to me, that said, that is yours. So that is why it's important that we surround ourselves in an environment that's filled with the Word of God. Right? In other words, how many of you like country music? I do. But I don't like I know George Jones is dead now, bless his heart, but I don't like the old George Jones hurting stuff. Are you with me? You know what you get when you play a country and western song backwards. Get your marriage back, you get your house back, you get your relationships back, you know, whatever. Right? I don't like that old hurting stuff. I really don't. I don't like the, there's some of the music I like, but I don't like the message. Message means everything to me. Because words are the most powerful stuff there is. Amen? So, we can't be listening to a dose of... Let me just say this. I'll just be really bold. You can't be going through a crisis in your marriage and listening to the old hurt and country and western of how, well, on the other hand, you know, and you sneak out here, do this, that, or the other, and songs. You can't be trusting God for your marriage and listen and fill in your mind and fill in everything else with junk like that. You just can't. Why? It's not faith-filled. It's just not. I can't be trusting God for, well, can we even be bolder? We can't be standing in faith for the health of our bodies while we're shoveling the Twinkies in and washing them down with Dr. Pepper. And burping, excuse me, God, I sure need some healing here. Why? It's not the ingredients to produce rhema. And let me tell you what. It's all about this whole thing of serving God, among many of the things it is when it comes to faith. It's all about getting the ingredients right for this stuff to go from law, a list of do's and don'ts, to have a relationship with the Word of God, Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, to then it becomes our Word for that situation in time. Amen? So that there's faith that, you know what? We can get through this thing. That mountain that looms in front of us, you know what? Faith can remove that mountain. Amen? So it's incredibly, if we think we can just, as Christians, if we think we can just bumble our way through, there's a grace period as a baby in Christ. You know what I'm saying? But there is going to come a time that the Lord's going to just minister to us and say, you know what, dude? You're 20 years old and you're still wearing diapers. Get with the program. Am I right or wrong? Somebody that's 20 years old and still peeing their pants and pooping their pants and has to have somebody wipe their hind end, they're not normal. But there's Christians that are, if you could see them in the realm of the Spirit, they gave their heart to Jesus 20 years ago. They still pee their pants, still poop their diapers, and expect somebody to clean up all their messes. Amen? There comes a time for all of us that God just wants us to get on the bandwagon and say, yeah, listen, faith is foundational to our lives, and I went a completely different direction than I wanted to go. So one of these Wednesday nights, we're going to talk about, is that there's three words that people use synonymous with faith, and I say they're not synonymous. One is belief. Faith and belief are not the same thing. They're similar properties, but they're not the same thing. They are not synonymous. Trust is the next one. Faith and trust are not the same thing. There's some similarities, but they're not the same thing. And then we're going to talk about faith and contrast those three things together. What do they look like? How do they go together? Faith and belief are not the same thing. A lot of people think that. Well, I believe. Okay. Well, let's just expound upon that. Does the devil believe there's a God? Does it make him a Christian? No. There's a lot of people that believe God, you know, that there's a lot of Christians that believe God's all powerful. But does that belief mean that all of his power will go to work on their behalf? Not at all. Not at all. However, you can't receive God's power to go to work on your behalf unless you believe that he is all powerful. There's some similarities going on, but they're not the same. And a lot of, I find just on a practical level, a lot of Christians are standing on their belief, which is different than standing on faith. Well, I trust God too. Okay. That's a completely different nuance of faith as well. Trust and belief are two.
Thank you for listening
things.
To this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message
powerful,
of the goodness of
very
God.
Necessary, but they're different. Okay? Is that okay? Can we just stop there and we'll just continue on? Okay, let's bow our head and close our eyes.